The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time was fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to begin this morning with a little story that I read as I was doing my sermon preparation this week. It seems there was this woman who had a severe weakness for beautiful clothes. She would go out shopping, and whenever she would be walking past a store and she saw a beautiful dress or a sweater or a pair of shoes, she just had to have it. Temptation would set in and she would purchase that beautiful thing that she saw. You know, finally, after a number of months had gone by and she realized the severity of this by seeing how much debt she went into, she finally realized that she had a problem. And so she asked her husband if he would help. And she needed help to overcome this weakness. She needed help to come over these temptations. So her husband said, "Yeah, okay, I'll help you." And they tried everything. The first thing, of course, they did was they took away her credit cards. That's the very first thing they did. Put them up somewhere where she wouldn't have them, and so she wouldn't be tempted to spend the money. But that didn't work. So the next thing that they did is they took away her checkbook. So she wouldn't have her credit cards, she wouldn't have her checkbook. But that didn't work either. And so the last thing they did is her husband put her on an allowance. He only gave her so much money per week, so she'd only have so much in her pocketbook and she'd have to make it last. But what she found is that didn't work either. She still had to have those beautiful dresses, those beautiful sweaters and shoes and whatnot. And so as one last resort, she and her husband were talking, and they were talking about how to overcome temptation and how to overcome the thoughts of spending money that she shouldn't be spending. And they thought, you know, what we could do is when you feel the temptation coming on, you know it's Satan that's leading you to this. You know it's a behavior that you shouldn't be engaged in. So when you see yourself at the window and you just got to have the dress or you just got to have the sweater or the pair of shoes, just simply start saying, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan." And say it even louder and louder and just start walking away from the windows. And she tried it. And she tried it, and for a time that seemed to work. But then there came that one day when after she had been gone for the afternoon, her husband, was at home and he didn't know where she was, and she came walking through the door and she has in her hands this beautiful, beautiful dress. Her husband looked at that, and he looked at the price tag, $350. He looked at the price tag, and he said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, I tried to do everything that we talked about. When I got to the window, I said, 'No, don't do it, don't do it. This isn't what you're supposed to do. Just move away, move away.' But next thing you know, the dress was in my hand." And so she tried even harder, harder, harder. But next thing you know, she was in the fitting room. And the next thing you know, she was standing in front of the mirror. And at that point, she said, "I couldn't take it any longer, so I screamed at the top of my lungs, 'Get behind me, Satan!'" And so Satan got behind her and said, "Oh, honey, that thing looks even more gorgeous from the back." Isn't that the way it goes? Isn't when we face temptation, isn't that just the way it goes? Satan gets behind us and he gives us another suggestion, another nudge, pushes even closer to that thing that we know we shouldn't be doing or leading us down the wrong path. You know, that's what we go through when we face temptation. Today we have Mark's narrative of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. And, you know, when you read the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness according to Mark's gospel, to get the broader context, you have to read the whole section of scripture that's joined to it. And these are lessons that we've already read this year. You know, Jesus' baptism, and then the beginning of his ministry. But we haven't talked about Jesus facing temptation. You know, there's only two verses. You think about Matthew, you think about Luke, and it's like a whole chapter. Chapter 4 in Luke tells all about Jesus' temptation. You know, here in Mark we have two verses, verses 12 and verses 13. But they're powerful. They bring up so many different visions and phrases and words that make us think. Take verse 12, for instance. Just look at verse 12 in your bulletin. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, that doesn't sound like much of a story, but think about it. Immediately, Jesus came up from the waters. Jesus was at the day of his baptism. He was in the Jordan with John. The skies were torn open, the voice from heaven, the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And immediately that Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Drove him. Didn't suggest that he go. Didn't invite him to the wilderness. The Spirit drove him out there. God's voice just got done, you know, Jesus just got done hearing God's voice say, "You are my beloved Son." And now he's being driven into the wilderness. You know, we know this is important because the wilderness is a part of human life that we all understand. It's a part of human life that is always around us. Ever since Adam and Eve took a bite of the forbidden fruit, ever since they were first disobedient to God, humans have faced struggle, difficulty, adversity. We have always, at time and again, found ourselves in the wilderness, in that place of uncertainty. The wilderness is a place that we're all too familiar with. It's that place we'd rather not be. It's that place where we feel alone. We feel inadequate. We just feel like there's nothing left for us. We get down in the dumps. We worry about things. Perhaps we even feel that God is distant. God is no longer with us as we are in this wilderness. You know, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, have you ever had doubt? Have you ever had fear? Have you ever worried about something and you just couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever just worried about something so much, a problem that's presented itself, and you don't know where you're going to turn? These problems seem bigger than you. That's the wilderness. You know, those times we feel like there's no one paying attention to our needs. Those times when we feel like we're isolated and there's this black cloud hanging over us. That's the wilderness. The wilderness is closer than you think. And just like it was for Jesus, the wilderness is just beyond the waters of our baptism. Because just beyond the waters of baptism, just beyond the forgiveness of sins, just beyond the Holy Spirit being poured out upon you, that's the place where Satan goes to work. Just beyond the waters of your baptism. We don't have to wander far to be caught up in the wilderness. Temptation will find us. You know, the wilderness is filled with pitfalls. It's filled with traps. It's filled with the world's empty promises. It's filled with temptations beyond temptations beyond temptations. And that's why the wilderness and temptation seem to go hand in hand. Satan knows what buttons to push. He knows when to push them so that he might try to lead God's people away. You know, like the woman in the story with the $350 dress. She did everything she could to try to withstand temptation. She knew better. She knew this wasn't something she needed to do. But the devil knew her weakness. The devil knew her weakness and began to use it against her. It's the same for us. Satan knows our weakness. He knows just how to tempt us and entice us to stray away from the things that God would have us do and begin living for ourselves. He just waits for the most opportune time. Satan's main priority, his main priority is to drive a wedge between our relationships with one another and especially our relationship with God. And left on our own, we don't stand a chance. We're going to give in to sin. And that's why the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. That's why Jesus faced 40 days of temptation. That's why Jesus was there in the wilderness alone with the wild beast, so that he would experience the totality of human struggle. Consider, if you will, the challenge that Jesus had. First of all, 40 days in the wilderness. And in those 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus took with him no food. In those 40 days out there in the wilderness, Jesus took with him no water. Took with him no extra clothing, nothing to keep him warm. Scripture tells us that as Jesus wandered in the wilderness for those 40 days, he fasted. And near the end, near the very end of that, on day 39, day 40, you know, Jesus was famished. He was hungry. He was beaten down. He was exhausted. He had reached the end. He didn't have any water. No doubt about it, at any point in his life up until the day of his crucifixion, Jesus was weaker than he had ever been. Yet he didn't give in to the devil's temptation. Throughout the 40-day ordeal, Jesus remained faithful to God's law. He remained faithful to God's commandments. Now, on the surface, we can look at this and we can say, well, of course he did. He's God. Of course he remained faithful. But don't forget, Jesus was also fully human. Fully human. He felt the same pains we feel. He felt the same hunger we feel, the same thirst that we feel, the same anxieties that we go through, Jesus went through in those 40 days. He was so tired. He was so beaten down. He was so hungry. It would have been so simple for him to give in to temptation. Yet he remained faithful. When we consider all of these things, and we take a look at Jesus' life in those 40 days in the wilderness, here's where we really need to pay attention to those two verses of Jesus' temptation in the Gospel according to Mark. Mark tells us everything that we need to know in just those little passages. We need to pay attention to what he says. We need to pay even more attention to what Mark does not say. Mark tells us that just as he came up out of the waters and he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. When Jesus was baptized, God pronounced him to be his beloved Son. With God, with Jesus, God is well pleased. The Spirit descended upon him. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit was there at the Jordan, and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. But look what Mark does not say. He does not say the Spirit abandoned Jesus in the wilderness. The Spirit was there with Jesus at the Jordan. The Spirit was there with Jesus in the wilderness. Through our baptism, we confess every Sunday that we're in bondage to sin. Through our baptism, even as we're in this bondage, we are united with Christ. Through baptism, we are united with our Lord Jesus Christ. And just like Him, we are filled with the same Holy Spirit. No, we don't always remain faithful. No, we don't always do those things that we ought. Still, God forgives us our sins, fills us with His Holy Spirit, and pronounces us to be His beloved children. He fills us with the same Holy Spirit that was with Jesus in the wilderness. That's an important part of our Lenten journey. He overcame all the temptations. He lived without sin, and then He took our sins all the way to the cross, where He put sin and death to death forever. Today's the first Sunday in Lent. As we do every day, especially during this Lenten journey, we recognize our brokenness. We recognize our need for a Savior. A Savior that would deliver us from our sins. A Savior that would help us withstand temptation. A Savior that would keep us away from the evils of this world. People of God, we have such a Savior. We have such a Savior. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. And even as we live in the wilderness of this world, even as all these things are thrown at us, even as we fail to remain faithful, Jesus conquered those powers that defy God. Jesus conquered them once and for all. He conquered them on our behalf. He withstood the temptations of the devil. He conquered evil for all time. Even as we struggle to find our way out of circumstances that seem beyond our control, the Holy Spirit is with us. God has not abandoned us. The Holy Spirit is with us, and He guides us through this earthly wilderness, and He leads us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the remainder of this Lenten season and beyond, our thankful response, our response to God's grace, is to worship Him, to give thanks, and to strive to follow Jesus' example of obedience. Let's try and do just this. Let's strive to stay as far away from sin as we can and draw even closer to God. Let's remain attentive to the needs of those around us, for the poor, the hungry, the lost, and the forgotten. Let's listen to God's voice as He reminds us that we're not alone. We're His beloved children. Because through it all, we have this same Holy Spirit, this one who drove Jesus out into the wilderness for our sake. We are not alone. Because through it all, we are God's beloved children. And Christ is with us. And we know this because He promised that He would be with us even to the end of the age. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.